You're listening to the End Screen for the week of Monday, January 24th.
With your hosts, George Murray and Ben Tomasetti. Every week we discuss current topics and issues regarding the field of ubiquitous computing and user experience design.
Today, on the End Screen, two-dimensional barcodes and networking the unconnected.
Cue the music. Right. So what was that we just heard there?
That was a brand new girl talk. He gives it away, so we take it.
I gotta say, it's not that new, Ben.
I just got it yesterday, man. I don't know what to tell you. I'm enjoying it as if it is new.
That's good. New to you.
It's new to me. So we thought we'd start with a PR release from Starbucks, dated January 19th. Starbucks apparently has just discovered two-dimensional barcodes.
I don't think they just discovered them.
Well, they just rolled them out nationwide. So, from the press release, Starbucks today announced the launch of mobile payment in all U.S. company-operated stores, allowing customers to pay for in-store purchases with select smartphones. To experience mobile payments at Starbucks, customers just need to download the free Starbucks Card mobile app for select BlackBerry smartphones, iPhone, or iPod Touch mobile devices. More than one-third of U.S. Starbucks customers use smartphones, of which nearly three-quarters use BlackBerry smartphone or iPhone mobile devices. Customers can pay with their smartphone by holding their mobile device in front of a scanner on the countertop and scan the Starbucks Card mobile app's on-screen barcode to make a purchase. Customers have successfully adopted this technology in test markets in Seattle, Northern California, New York, and more than 1,000 Starbucks in U.S. Target stores.
Cool.
So what are they trying to tell us here?
That your phone is your new wallet?
Your phone is your new wallet. That's true. At least at Starbucks. So what Starbucks is doing is the same thing airlines have been doing for a while. Instead of checking into a flight on your mobile phone, you re-up your Starbucks app on your mobile phone. And when you get to the point of sale, either to get on the airplane or, in this case, to buy your triple-double macchiato venti vanilla.
No, you order your new, what is that, like a 3-liter?
Have you seen that? The jumbo.
The jumbo?
Yeah. That's not what it's called.
Is that an Italian word?
Yeah, it's larger than the human stomach. So when you get their brand new size, you can pay them $8 with your mobile phone, which is your mobile phone displays a two-dimensional barcode, so similar to what you get at the grocery store on your Wrigley's gum or your Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Only instead of just vertical lines, they're vertical and horizontal, forming a grid pattern. That's the two dimensions. And that's your unique ID. Starbucks deducts money from your card, from your gift card or your account, your Starbucks account. In light of Starbucks' adoption of this technology, we think it's going to start branching out and becoming more prevalent. So we thought we'd get on the ground floor and tell you what's already been done with two-dimensional barcodes. QR code is the most common, though there are other varieties.
Yeah, I think Starbucks uses something called PDF 417.
That's right. It's just a different standard. Just
doesn't really roll off your tongue like QR.
Yeah, it's kind of like your 87 gas versus your 89 at the Shell station. You don't know what the difference is, but they're basically the same.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about what's happening now with QR codes, two-dimensional barcodes. What we see is near-term fixes and near-future technologies, and then talk about how this is really just a bridge technology into...
We're going to kind of expand on the promise of these connecting technologies. So, Ben, yes. What is a QR code? What do QR codes and PDF 417s, what does that hold, and how does that work exactly? I mean, I know it's some kind of, like, code. It's a picture, right, of like a grid or some kind of thing. What can that store? And when my phone or some other device reads that thing, what can it get from?
Just like when they scan a traditional barcode at the grocery store, that's just a string of numbers. It's a low number of characters, but that's enough that the grocery store can pull their back-end system, update inventory, and tell you how much you need to pay for it that day at the moment.
Cha-ching.
Right. When you take a picture of a QR code with your mobile phone, there's data stored in there. So it can store just straight text, or it can store a link, or it can actually store formatted data, like a contact card entry or a calendar event, say for your Outlook calendar, Google Calendar.
Okay.
So they're pretty powerful pieces of metadata stored within just a small grid.
In a picture. Okay.
Looking at current uses for QR codes before Starbucks decided to make waves with their big announcement, I hope you can tell that I'm not too impressed, but...
Well, it's kind of a big deal. I mean, QR codes have been out for a while now.
Since like the mid-90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's quite a... I mean, that's a long time in technology years.
True.
They haven't exactly caught on because a majority of phones, mobile phones, haven't had camera and a big screen. Not until, 2004 or 2006. So they're kind of coming up along with some other close range transferring technologies that all of a sudden are all like really useful now that smartphones are so powerful and they're mainstream now.
Yeah. Just a couple real world examples. A lot of parks in the US and abroad have, instead of translating all their park signs, you know, danger bears this way for the botanical gardens, what they're doing is they're attaching small QR codes underneath the existing signs that store the translation. So there'll be a QR code, and then underneath it will say Francais, and the French speaker that doesn't know English will scan the QR code and it'll give them the translation. So that's a cheap way that you can use QR codes to...
That seems kind of silly. Like, why would I be carrying my cell phone on a hike?
Because you carry your cell phone everywhere. It doesn't have to be on a hike. It could be in Golden Gate Park.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
It could be danger wet floor at the library. It could be anything.
But it just kind of brings up a user experience issue where, like, I have to get out my phone. I have to, like, take a picture or like scan this code in, wait for it to like give me my translation.
Well, there's not really a lot of waiting because the code just stores the native character set. So it's not like polling data, anything like that. It's your phone is actually decrypting the code into the message. Do you see what I mean? It doesn't have to pull a server.
But still, it's kind of like, so like open up this app, you know.
But would you rather do that, or would you rather not know which way the botanical garden was?
Well, I don't have to do that. I can just look at an icon instead.
Okay, which is a good point.
A picture is worth a thousand words. Isn't that how it goes?
That is the saying.
But a QR code is worth 4,000 characters.
It's true. Which, if the words are under 4 characters each, equals 1,000 words. Mm. So another example that you might have seen in your daily life, probably you have seen this one as opposed to the park. QR codes are currently in existence for boarding airplanes.
I've used a QR code for, I think, United. Last time I flew United.
Yeah. I haven't actually used it yet, but I know it exists.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's like those little boxes, like when you, you're going through the line and you get to the front of security where they ask, you know, the guy asks you, like, let me see your ID and your boarding pass. There's a box up there that has like a smartphone shaped screen on it. and you take your phone and you just put it on there, and then it tells the guy where you're going and you're on your way.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, that's how it works.
That's cool. So you actually have to touch screens.
Pretty much, yeah. And
so it's like it's like a little scanner instead of a, as opposed to a camera, it's like it's scanning your screen.
I think it's a camera, yeah. It's a camera looking at that screen.
Oh, okay.
And then you pull up your email with your code in it, and you just put it on that screen, and then the camera reads it, and it does whatever it does.
Yeah.
Does that.
That's George's magic server sound.
That's the sound of the black box.
So if we look at these codes, they can be applied to objects in the real world. Advertising, where you can shoot it, you can learn more. Calvin Klein has a famous example. About 3 months back, they had an ad that was too racy for Times Square. So instead, they just put up a QR code. You shot the code with your phone, and then you got to see the video, the racy video.
That's smart.
On your mobile phone.
Yeah. It's a lot more intimate when it's on your phone, too, you know? And so when the video ended, did it, like, take the phone to the website where you could purchase the jeans, or?
No, actually, that was their one downfall, is they just loaded a page that had the video embedded.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they didn't upsell after the video was over, which they should have. That would have been a lot smarter. What they did do that I did think was smart is they disabled the URL from a regular browser. So you had to view it in a mobile browser.
That's cool.
Yeah. So you could only watch it on your phone. Or if you changed the user agent or something on your full featured browser.
So if we wanted to pull it up right now, we couldn't.
We wouldn't be able to.
Huh. So it really kind of, it really attaches that video to that QR code. That QR code is like,
is a link to a page.
Conceptually, that QR code is the video.
Right. True. And then we could also think about other places for it in advertising. Say, George and I live in San Francisco. There's posters everywhere for movies, upcoming concerts, talks, and it's all just
Jersey Shore.
Right. And you see it and you're like, hey, that's really cool. I want to remember that band is coming, or that new movie is coming out. And then you walk a half a block and you see 8 more ads, and your mind totally forgets what you saw a half a block away that you were actually intrigued with. So if they embed QR codes on these devices, it can send you to a link to buy tickets for that movie or that concert, put a calendar update on your calendar, send you to the trailer for the movie.
Yeah, there's like all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So I you know, you were earlier when we were talking about this, you said something about tagging fruits and vegetables. What is this idea that you had?
So I usually shop at the farmer's market if I can, if I have a chance, because I like to meet the people that grew my vegetables. And, you know, they're all from the Central Valley, and we talk about the weather in Sacramento or how they had to drive through Concord or something. And, you know, it's just fun to meet the people that grew your food. In absence of that, I thought it would be pretty cool if instead of just a sticker that has, you know, some random numbers and grown in Mexico or grown in Peru, it could be a QR code and you could shoot that apple and you could virtually meet the people that made it. You know, see photos of the farm, or you could see where it was on a map even. And then, you know, there's other data that you could potentially attach.
Like maybe how, like the route that the fruit and vegetable, that the produce took.
Exactly. How many miles it took.
Yeah.
What date it was picked on. Potentially even a link to a photo of the fruit when it was picked. So, I mean, the possibility is potentially endless. It would undeniably add some minor cost to the stickering process. But I feel like a lot of markets in the U.S. are leaning more towards local food and organic. And the more information that they have about that food, the more likely they are to feel good about buying it.
It's kind of like the other version of a marketing campaign, a story marketing campaign. So like a lot of marketing campaigns like to build on the consumer's story of engaging with a brand, you know, like with social media and all, you know, all this.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I can like it.
Oh, I liked it, and my friends liked it, so I'm gonna like it.
I promoted the tweet.
Kind of like this, using other people's stories of using the product or eating the food as the message. But like, if they did this, then you know it could be much more like intimate with the product. The only problem with that though is that you actually have to have like an interesting story.
Yeah.
To tell, like, because if it's made in like Guatemala by like really poor conditioned factories and like goes to China and then back to the United States and then
right, or like Fiji water, they ship empty bottles across the Pacific and fill them up and then ship them back full.
Yeah,
that's an interesting point that I hadn't really thought of. I guess I was just assuming that producers would want to hype their story, but probably not always. I could imagine though there would be some individual companies. Let's say for instance I own a microbrewery.
I wish you did.
Yeah. I wish I did too some days. But just as a for instance, you know, I could put a QR code on my bottle or on my six pack that tells the story of my brewery and where I buy my ingredients from and when this particular batch is probably gonna expire. It's a nice way to put metadata and networked data onto inanimate and unnetworkable objects.
Yeah.
No matter how much I wish my orange could be on the internet, it probably won't ever be on the internet.
Yeah. And so that kind of gets at my like overall gripe with this, with these technologies. That is just that it's really like QR codes and NFC right now, RFID tags and all that sort of thing. It's really not easy still to do this sort of thing. Like, I mean, a picture of a QR code is pretty easy, but it's still like a lot of work on the manufacturing side, and it requires a lot of work on the consumer side too still. There are not QR code hard keys on my phone to like quickly jump into QR mode and then read something. And to actually like print these stickers and stuff that look weird and they're not really part of the whole plan of manufacturing right now, it also doesn't really fit in there either. You know, so it's really an unnatural addition for medium level of extra experience right now.
I'm with you. But I think it's, even though it's unnatural, I think it's relatively inexpensive versus other options. Let's go back to the signage example. If I want to translate my sign that says Danger Bears into all possible languages of tourists, I could make up 100 signs or I could print 100 stickers. I feel like stickers is a less expensive method for getting my message out there.
And I just don't see it because, I mean, imagine the signpost. It's like, it's now no longer typeset, you know.
Like, have you been to a park recently? they're not typeset that well. It's just, someone took a chisel to a plank of
wood. All right. But just imagine the alternative that you're discussing here. It's like a sign of like 100 QR codes. It's okay. Going to look like some kind of digital like apocalypse, you know, it's like have the robots taken over. Like,
okay. 100 might be excessive, but you can imagine 4, which could be plausible and still appeasing to look at.
Yeah.
I get your point that it's sort of, the object itself is not networked. It's just data about the object.
Yeah.
And that it's not really entirely useful unless you sort of are inquisitive and you want to know extra metadata about something, which is all that really QR promises. If you're willing to put in the step to launch the app, scan the sticker,
yeah,
then there's something waiting for you on the other side.
Yeah. If you think about it, like, There are these parts of this experience, right? There is the QR code or the RFID tag or whatever. The thing is that the manufacturer has to put in to the object. Then there's me, and I have to have my cell phone, and it has to be able to read that thing. And then when it reads that thing, it has to take the information that was attached to it and send me to, on the internet, across the internet, to another experience that is attached to that object. Now that's a lot of like steps in between me and my precious, you know, experience for my object.
Precious metadata.
Yeah.
I think that's a cynical way of viewing it. I think
it's cynical.
I think a more optimistic way would be this object has more of a story that I can tap into.
Dude, I know, and it has more of a story.
I launch a single app and I sort of hold my phone steady for a half a second, and then I'm instantly transported into this other experience, this window.
I'm just saying, it could be a lot better. It could be a lot better. And the reason why QR never caught on in the last 15 years is because there's not a good user experience reason why.
I disagree. I think it's because there weren't a lot of individuals that had high enough resolution digital camera attached to something that could be on the internet.
And there's no money in it either. That's why NFC is popping off. Because transactions, like, that's a user experience that I could put my money, my dollars behind. You know, but a QR code to like attach like a marketing campaign to an object, it's
so tough. You haven't seen it a lot in the US, but in East Asia, it's all over. A lot of billboards have them, magazine articles have them, books have them. And that's because they've had the hardware and the software to handle this for a dozen years, as opposed to us, which it's like 5 or 6.
Mm. Well, I think that there are technologies that help that user experience. Like, I think Google Goggles does a great job of taking the code, the QR code out, and just take a picture of the label. That's all you should have to do. Or, you know, Google the name of the product. Translate it.
Right, but that's a desktop metaphor applied to your cell phone. Think about this. Why should I have to type something? Why should I have to search? If there's already a link, and all I have to do is take a picture of that link, and I'm at the website, or I see the text that's hiding behind it, why should I have to search for the orange and the name of the manufacturer?
Well, because there's more than the link. I guess when you take a picture of the actual product, you're getting at the actual product and not the link that they wanted to put on it. You know, you're getting like a level of metadata higher. You're getting the Wikipedia article and not the and not the website campaign.
I guess you raise a point where, you know, you click the link, you're just trusting what they're giving you. And
yeah.
That's okay.
And there's still a place for that explicit, like, I would like to engage in this experience.
Right.
Go! You know?
Yeah.
Like the ad, like the Calvin Klein ad, like that was totally like a great explicit, like, I'm about to get a racy video.
You wouldn't
video.
Google Goggles that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But for everything else, like for my magazine here, Killscreen, I would just like to, well, I mean, honestly, I would just like to Google it.
So, but that's, again, George, I think you're coming from a desktop metaphor where you have access to full keyboard and full web, and that's been sort of crammed down into your phone, as opposed to a QR code, which is really designed for a time and a world, I think mid-90s, where
everyone's going to raves and the Counting Crows were awesome.
Yeah, and your phone, text input on your phone was bad. You needed something that could decode the text on your phone because you maybe didn't have a data connection. But as our hardware and our capabilities have grown, the ability for QR's capacity to expand is filling up some space. I don't think it's necessarily the best experience, but when you see someone with the weight of Starbucks putting their weight behind 2D barcodes as a way to speed interactions at their store, you have to stop and wonder what's happening here and how can we use this?
Yeah, yeah. I'll definitely use it right now. But in the future, I would like wireless, you know, no camera included. Just my book should be connected to my phone. all automatically. And so when I, if I would like to get more information, you know, I can look at what device, what things are connected to me and go from there.
Hmm. Now you're managing everything on your phone.
As I know, yeah. Yeah, my phone screen kind of sucks, you know.
Yeah, it's like, small.
I don't want to be doing all that through that screen. I don't want to use a camera either, though.
Yeah, good point. I think basically what we're doing is we're triangulating different technologies. You know, there's wireless communications, there's optical communications between devices and objects.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there's hardwired communications, and eventually I believe that, you know, wireless is going to win out over wired and optical, but it's a long, hard road, and we need these bridge technologies to convince people that there are use cases for wireless connections.
Yes. So in the meantime, QR all the way. Woo! All right, so I think we've wrapped up this episode on QR codes. I mean, let's see. It's definitely being used. There are some really cool applications. Some stuff's on the, you know, on the horizon, and we've always got our dreams in the back of our minds, but we're not quite there yet. So yeah, this is the fourth episode of The Nth Screen. We hope you've enjoyed listening. Something that we haven't ended our previous episodes with, but we're going to start doing this, is if you have any comments or questions, or you'd like to join the conversation, we're at nth-screen.com. You can also email us there and find our podcast link to iTunes so you can subscribe. You know, we're always accessible on Twitter. I'm G. Murray. Ben is... What are you, Ben?
I'm B. Tomasetti, which is...
That's difficult. A lot.
That's a mouthful. But you can find it on our website, nth-screen.com.
Yeah. So, yeah, we just like to hear from you and let us know your comments, your concerns, your interests. Heck, maybe give us some ideas for the next episode. We would love to talk about whatever it is you would like to hear about.
We aim to please.
All right, so this is our fourth episode, and we'll sign off with Girl Talk. Hit it, Ben. Hey. Hey. Yo, y'all know the lyrics. Hey. Come on, sing with me. Yeah. Hey. Shimmy, shimmy, y'all, shimmy, yam, shimmy, yeah. Give me the mic so I can take it away. On the natural Charles Bone Boyard. Yeah, from the home of the Dodger Brooklyn squad. Wu-Tang killer of ease on the swarm. Rain on your college ass disco dorm. But you didn't even touch my skill.